just a very fascinating insight into this shul. Now, the other answer they give is that Bilam was not the name of his name. His name was actually Shmuel. People did research on this. And the research has come up to show that this person, this Rishon that we're talking about, his father's name was not Bilam, it was Shmuel. And Bilam, or Balaam, whatever, was the name of his city. He lived in New York. Think about it, we're no different. We live in New York. Where do we come from? York. York, we live in New York. So this city is named after York. Where was York?
In England.
In England. It was one of the worst gezeiros upon Jewish people. A massacre. What was the year?
1290.
Year 1000?
1290.
1290? 1290 was one of the worst massacres of Jews in the history of our Gaulis. And there was a gzeira, there is a tradition, you're not allowed to sleep over. Person, for whatever reason, has to pass through York, okay, in England, you're not allowed to sleep over. Do not sleep overnight in a hotel if the airport in Florida, they land there. You know, stay over.
That's very hard shot.
Why?
His father's name is Shmuel, he's going to say his father's name was Balaam.
Ibn Ezra, Ibn, what does Ibn mean? Ibn. It means you are a member of a mishpacha.
It means
Ben, a child, but no, it's sometimes it means the name of a city, name of a certain area, name of a certain community, a community. It's not uncommon. We live in a different world today, but so this idea, like for example, York. York was a city where a terrible massacre, the wicked people there, the earth is drenched in blood, and there's a tradition that you're not allowed to sleep there overnight. And someone told me recently that they would pass, a woman told me, Mrs. Mandel, she told me, she comes from England. And she told me that when they were once traveling as a child, and they told them, we're now passed through New York, you can't eat. No one here on the bus, wherever they were, is allowed to eat now, no eating. Why? Because if you're going to eat, you're going to have to make a bracha. You don't make a bracha in this makom. They told the children she lives to live there. When you pass through York on the bus, the train, whatever it was, no one should say a bracha. You don't say the Shema Hashem in this cursed land.
So what about Berlin?
What?
Berlin, you're allowed to make a bracha?
Berlin, I don't know. This was the takana for York. I don't know. What are we doing here? We're living in New York. New York is named after York. Okay, this is New York, all right? How you talking? This is where all the Jews hang out? How could this mamish the shavish? What? It's not the same makom. So it's interesting when you say go back to what you said before, is the nikud. If even changing the vowels from Bilam, from Balak to Balak, that changes the equation. So certainly when you change the location, it's also, it's not the same. It's not, doesn't have the same toikef. Yerichai. What happened to Yerichai? Yerichai, there was a curse. Anyone who rebuilds, this is a little bit of a contradiction, I'm telling you, there was a curse, Yeshua said, anyone who builds Yerichai, what was it say in the past? His children should die. And there was a pasuk there tells us there was a person who went and he rebuilt Yerichai. And when he laid the foundation, his oldest son died. And when he put up the finishing touches, his youngest son died. So it's a tippish. So why, how did that happen? How did it happen that he was such a tippish to do this? So the answer given is that when he built Yerichai, he didn't build it in the same place. He built a new city nearby. The curse was anyone who rebuilds Yerichai on this current location. In this current location will suffer the curse that his children will die. This fellow, he built Yerichai, he did not build it on its original location. They built it adjacent, further away. It's just that he called it by the name of Yerichai. And he thought, I'm not doing anything wrong. He didn't even realize that when tragedy started happening, he should have stopped. He thought it was a coincidence. But it wasn't a coincidence, because there was such a hakpada. Not only are you not allowed to rebuild the actual city itself, you're not allowed to build another city and call it on the name of, and call it on the name of the original city. So that right away challenges what we live over here in New York. In New York, it's why is New York different than York? If in York there was a very big hakpada because of what happened in York. And this city is called New York. It's built al shem, the old York. Why is that different than what it says in the Shoftim? The fellow, he rebuilt Yericho, and he suffered, and he should not. And the complaint was, what was he thinking? He didn't rebuild it in the same location. He rebuilt it in a different location. So therefore, the doesn't apply. So it's interesting that we don't look at it like that, because we have no problem living in New York. And Baruch Hashem, there's been tremendous bracha in the last 70 years in New York. You can't deny the fact that Klal Yisrael have thrived, tremendous siyata d'shmaya in building, rebuilding Torah in Klal Yisrael after the Churban. So there must be a combination of factors. It's not called York, it's called New York. People, it's a different tikkufa, different time. It's not people. It's a different generation.
It's not St. Louis. It's not St. Louis. Also, like it's called
right, St. Louis. The okay. So it's this is just
Michelle
something that is. This is an interesting topic. This is a topic which is not is which is something which names always names. Oh, someone told me recently that they went to a bris and they named the child Arizal. Okay?
Yeah.
Arizal. Now that's that. Now, why was he called the Arizal? Rabbi Yehuda? What is Arizal? What was it? What is.
Luria.
The
Lama is Luria.
Yitzchak.
Luria.
Yitzchak? Luria. Luria. Ari Aleph?
Adonainu Rabbeinu Yitzchak.
Adonainu Rebbe
Yitzchak Luria
Yitzchak Ari. There's no Latin. Only the first name. The Zayin Lamed is Zichroinoi Levracha. Zichroinoi Levracha is not part of the name, period. The name is Arizal. The Arizal is again is Aleph is. I knew last week I was reading it all about it. I just forgot everything.
By the way, the reason for the New York was also over money. They owed so much money to the Jewish money lenders.
It's always about money.
They decided to
liquidate the Jews.
You know, they wanted to relinquish all the money, so they kicked the Jews out.
Arizal, the letters of Aleph Reish Yud is his name. But the Zayin Lamed, it's also an acronym, it's not even his name. And the Zayin Lamed is Zichron Levracha. So how could a person go and name a child Arizal? I mean, this happened before. I know firsthand. The person, he's a rabbi, he was in my class, Chaim Berlin. He became a rabbi in California, and he had in a very strange community. Actually, whatever, and he had these really wacky shilas, and he used to call up Rav David Cohn over here in Flatbush every day and tell him all the different shilas he had. And one of the shilas he had was someone in the shul named the baby Arizal. So what should he do? So I think Rav David Cohn told him that he should change the name. That's already going a little bit too far. The Zayin Lamed is Zichroinoi Levracha. That's not part of the name. I don't remember what he told him, but he totally told him that they should change the name. You don't do that, yeah?
My wife has her uncle, he passed away recently. His name was Rabbi Palikov from Baltimore. And he was the chaplain to the army during World War II. And right after, when the war ended, he arranged to have a davening. I'm not sure if it was Purim or a different time, in the offices of, I think it was Goebbels. The doctor had it there. The goal was he was one of the leaders of the Nazis. And he had it there. I can bring in an article about it.
It's a picture.
But the doctor picked that place. And the,
I'll give you another very interesting example. Yekusiel Yehuda. Everyone here, I'm sure, knows that today there are two Satmars. Satmar split. There was a Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yoel, and Rabbi Yoel, when he passed away, his brother took over, Rabbi Moshe. His nephew?
Yeah.
So who was his brother's father?
Rabbi Moshe was
So Rav Moshe was his nephew? Nephew. Who was Rav Moshe's father? What was his name? What? Chaim, Chaim? Okay, I don't know that. And who was the father of Rabbi Yoel? Yekusiel? No, that was Gravel. Who is Yekusiel?
Yom Tov.
Yom Tov? So who is Yekusiel Yehuda? His father, next generation. So Rabbi Yoel's grandfather. Rabbi Yoel's grandfather, everyone knows the Satmar Rav. Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum. So Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum's father of Baruch is telling us his name was Kedushas Yom Tov. Yom Tov. Who was the Kedushas Yom Tov's father? Yom Tov Lipa. Yom Tov Lipa was the name of Rabbi Yoel's father. And Yom Tov Lipa's father's name was Yekusiel Yehuda. Okay, so Yekusiel Yehuda, Yom Tov Lipa, he had at least two sons, Rabbi Yoel and Rabbi Moshe. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yoel and Chaim. Chaim had a son, Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has two sons. One is Zalman Leib, and one is Aaron. Yeah. Moshe has two sons. Let's go. I wanted to tell this very interesting. The Yichus. This is very interesting. I'll tell you the name. Nochamo. Everyone here knows Rabbi Yoel. Okay. If you don't know Rabbi Yoel, you're hiding under a rock somewhere. Rabbi Yoel Misatmer. Rabbi Yoel's father was the Kedushas Yom Tov. He was known by that term. Kedushas, his name was Yom Tov Lipa. Yom Tov Lipa's father, his name was Yekusiel Yehuda. That is his name, Yekusiel Yehuda. Okay, now, let's go again. Yekusiel Yehuda had a son, the Kedushas Yom Tov, Yom Tov Lipa. Yom Tov Lipa had at least two sons. One was Yoel, and Yoel had a brother, Chaim, Atzei Chaim, known by the Atzei Chaim. The Atzei Chaim had a son of Moshe. So Rav Moshe is the nephew of Rabbi Yoel. Rabbi Yoel passed away, and he did not leave over children. His children died in the Holocaust, and one died here in America, right? One died in America? In the war. And Rav Moshe took over. He was the Rebbe. And when Rav Moshe passed away, he has at least two sons, and they split the Malchus. The Malchus was split, Rechavam and Shloima. They split between who? Rav Aaron and Zalman Leib. Okay. Okay, now let's not get into politics. No politics for now. Another time politics. Okay, they split the Malchus. Now, so, and they're very different. The brothers are very different. Rav Aaron is in Kiryas Yoel. Okay, Kiryas Yoel, that's upstate New York. And Rav Zalman Leib is in Williamsburg. Okay? Different terrains, different territories. Now you would think that when you go to Rav Zalman Leib in Williamsburg on Shabbos and they give the Rebbe Shishi, you would expect they would say Yamoid, Moreinu. They call Moreinu, how do they call their Rebbe? Moreinu?
Rabbeinu.
Rabbeinu, Zalman Leib. But if you go to Williamsburg, they don't call him Zalman Leib. When they give him an aliyah, they call him Yamoid Rabbeinu Yekusiel Yehuda. It's a fact. They call him Yekusiel Yehuda. He is named after his great-grandfather. His great-grandfather Yekusiel Yehuda, by his bris, by the bris, so I'm told. I wasn't there. But so I'm told by the bris of the Satmar Rebbe, Shlita, Rav Zalman Leib, they named him Yekusiel Yehuda. So why does everyone call him Zalman Leib? Because what is Yekusiel? Yekusiel, the English term for Yekusiel, not the English, the Goyisha term, or the Yiddish term for Yekusiel is Zalman. Zalman really means Shlomo. Solomon. Zalman is really the same as Solomon. Zalman, Solomon, phonetically similar. Yekusiel is also one of the names of Shlomo, it seems. Is that correct? Yekusiel is related to Shlomo HaMelech. That's what they say. So it was given then, what about Leib? That's very Yehuda. Yehuda in Yiddish is Leib. Yehuda. They call Yehuda in Yiddish a Leib. So that generation, they had secular names. This is not a joke. It's like calling someone David. At the bris, you give him David. Dovidol, and then you have a ceremony. The Yekis do this. They have a ceremony where you give someone a secular name, David. And in fact, they do this. I know someone actually does this. They do this in Washington Heights. They still do this. The Vimple. So what do they do when what happens when the child's about 3 years old or something like that? Where they come and they do a Hagba and they give the child a special, not a garitol, instead of a garitol, a big cloth. And on the cloth it's embroidered Chreis Psukim. And at that ceremony, when they do Hagba and they call up the child to do Galila, and the child wraps the Sefer Torah in a special garment, they basically...
The wimple
ceremony? I saw this once.
Yeah.
I actually saw this once. I didn't see the name giving. They give the child a secular name. Lahavdil ben Kodesh Lachol. This is an old concept which we don't do anymore today. You don't degrade the sanctity of your name using it in business, on your passport. A name is Kodesh. The name of Lashna, your name is a holy, holy name. You use that name when you call to the Torah, the Bris Milah, in the Ksuba. It is the name that's only used in a setting of Kiddusha. To take that name and go out into the dirty street with the Pritzos, the Nivel Peh, the Gezel, the Arayas, and all the Shmutz, and say, Yankel, Yaakov, David, it's a Zilzel.
Rabbi, I'm not joking. How about a girl? Does a girl
same thing. Does a girl, it seems they do. It seems that they do. It seems that it was the same thing. We don't do this today. It's unheard of. Today, in everyone's passport today, they write Yaakov, David, they write Yehuda. Today, we live in a different world. Today...
You know, I have one of my cousins who, his father was Menachem Mendel, but yeah. When I called him up for an old, he just was gifted, and he's his son. He was a big rock, and when I called him up for an Aliyah, and I said to Menachem, he said, don't say Mendel. He dropped the Mendel, for an Aliyah.
Why?
Because it's not a Hebrew name. In the safe that I gave over to the class, it says you're not allowed to get an Aliyah. It says the favorite, and this is from he's quoting all the Rishonim, that you're not allowed to get an Aliyah with the name Mendel, with the name Isaac, with the name, you're not allowed.
Interesting.
Only can get an Aliyah with a Hebrew name.
Today, 99% of the people who are called Zalman, when they get an Aliyah, they call them Zalman. At the Bris Milah of Yikarei Shmo B'Yisrael, Zalman. When they get an Aliyah, they call them Zalman. That's the way it is today. Today, things have changed. Today, these names have been Judified. They became part of our vocabulary. But it is a given, a davar pashut adam o, that in previous generations, there was a sensitivity to be mavdil ben kodesh l'chol. There is a name that is kodesh, and you don't just use that name in an ordinary setting of choil, of mundane activities. When you go to a restaurant, you don't go use a name in a goyish setting. You don't go use a name that is not sacred. And it's fascinating that the Rebbe of Satmar, it's fascinating that by him, it's probably accidental, it's still carried over that concept. Zalman Leib is really a secular name. Yiddish is not a sacred language. Yiddish is German that has been Judified, but it's not sacred. It's just Yiddish that has been embellished with our unique expressions. The name he got at the Bris Milah was Yekusiel Yehuda. And today when they call up for an Aliyah, they call him by the name Yekusiel Yehuda. That's what's named by his Bris. But in the world, you don't go call him. No one refers to him. No one ever refers to him by the name Yekusiel Yehuda. He's referred to Rabbeinu Zalman Leib. This is still...
Why?
Because you don't use a name of Kodesh outside a setting that's 100% Kodesh.
Most Chachamim are called by
I told you, today we live in a different world. Today everything is simished. Today, people who are called by a Bris Milah Zalman Leib, that's their Hebrew name, finished, nothing to talk about. But this is a modern thing. Zalman Leib is not Hebrew. Zalman Leib is German. It's really German. Not what is Yiddish? Yiddish is just German with a Jewish flavor. That's all it is. But it's German. It's not. German is not. There's no kedusha. Right. We made it holy, but it's not really holy. Today it's become. Today it's all the same. That's all the same. Today you don't differentiate.
If a young girl gets a made up name when she's born, the father makes up a name. They call him up for an aliyah.
That becomes your name. That's the way it is today. Anything you give a person. You make up some crazy name. Reb Chaim Knievsky used to. He stopped doing this. For many years, people went to Reb Chaim Knievsky and he asked them, what is your name? And people would tell them his name. And if he didn't like your name, this is very, very common for many, many years. If he didn't like your name, he would say, change your name. He would tell especially girls. He would traumatize all the girls. He would, a lot of names. He would tell them, there's no such name, and this is not Jewish tradition to have. You have to have a Jewish name, and if he didn't like your name, he would tell girls, change your name, and they would get all worked up, very upset. They would go back to their parents. The parents get even more upset, and this was a very, very common occurrence. In the last number of years, he stopped this. I don't know why. He does not. So I've been told that in the last number of years, he has not. He has not made a comment to anyone about their name. They should change their name. He stopped doing that for some reason. Mm-hmm. How many years ago was that?
10 years
ago. More than 10 years.
The name was Shira Fager.
Yeah.
Look at the
yeah.
Shira.
Take out Shira. So did she listen?
He said Sarah.
Yeah.
And he suggested
Shalamis. Yeah. So she changed her name to Shalamis? Shalamis Fager. Did they do a ceremony?
No, he said, get an aliyah.
Make me Shaberach. The way you change your name is you get an aliyah, a man gets an aliyah, and you make a Mishaberach on behalf of your children, and you name it, and you say on behalf of Shulamis, Fager. Okay, I heard this, but I've heard very, very clear that no more. He stopped doing this already for a long time, for a couple of years, no more. He stopped telling people to change their name. And even the people that he told to change their name, many of them didn't listen to him. So he told me to change my name. So my rabbanim told me not to change my name. Not everyone changed their name. I just want to bring this out. This is a very interesting topic, and it has a lot over here to do with this week's parsha. In this week's parsha, we have two names: Balak. Balak. Balak gets honorable mention that we name a parsha in the Torah HaKadosha by the name Balak. Shocking, shocking thing to do. And the explanation we gave is because we don't know anything. Balak is part of the line of the Melech HaMashiach. He had some problem in the middle there. He was a problematic person, but he's part of the chain of the Melech HaMashiach. And it's really a reminder to us, we don't know everything. We don't know how Hashem runs his world. And we have a parsha. There are only 5 parashas that have names of people. 4 of them we can understand. 1 we cannot. And we have to be miyashev. And this is the explanation given. We have another very interesting name of Bilam. And we have a very popular rishon by the name of Yehuda ben Bilam. And this has driven some people crazy. How could you have a name Yehuda ben Bilam? And we've given 2 answers. It's really Balaam. Or it was the name of a place, called Bilam. And even that's problematic. How could you name a place after an evil man? How could we live in New York? And how could there be the rebuilding of the city of Yericho when there was a curse? And the answers given is that it's not the same place, it's a different location, it's a different pronunciation, it's a different time and place, things have changed. It's look at the name of Yishmael.
The question is much better than the answers.
Did you ever hear somebody named Yishmael? Yeah, there was a Tana.
Sure.
Rabbi Yishmael. Mm-hmm. Oh, Rabbi Yishmael. Yishmael wanted to kill Yitzchak. Yishmael wasn't such a tzaddik. He wanted to kill Yitzchak. Oh, very good. But it says in the beginning that Sarah saw that he was mitzachik. And Sarah said, "Ki goresh es ben ha'amo hazaz ki lo yidash im bini im Yitzchak." He was driven out. How can we call him? How can we call children by the name of Yishmael? So what you're going to say is that we because he did teshuva. He did teshuva. He did teshuva. It's all rooted back in Yishmael. Every Yishmael comes is all rooted back in Yishmael. On the other hand, you also have to acknowledge that Avraham Avinu was mismalel for Yishmael. Lu Yishmael yichye lefonecha. And Rashi says what? Biyirasecha. Avraham Avinu was mispalel. Lu Yishmael yichye lefonecha. Halavai Yishmael should live. And Rashi says, what do you mean live? Biyirasecha. Halavai Yishmael should be zoicha to yirashemayim. Isn't that a beautiful name to give a child? What more can you possibly want? To give a child a name that Avraham Avinu himself was mispalel on this name, he should live. Is there any other person, any other name in the entire dictionary of names where you can say that our father, Elokei Avraham, said, Lu Yishmael Yichye Lefonecha B'Yirasech? Can you find such a thing like this? Okay, I know someone, they go to Rav Moshe, they would bring their children to Rav Moshe Feinstein for a bracha. So you know what he would give the bracha? They should be Yirei Shemayim. That was his bracha. He didn't wish them they should be rich and be Talmidei Chachomim and they should be successful and Askonim and politicians. He didn't wish these things upon them. He wished upon children they should be Yirei Shemayim. Where did he get that from? What did Avraham Avinu, what was he mispalel the bracha for his own child Yishmael? Lu Yishmael Yichye, he should live, B'Yirasecha. So it's a pretty good name, Yishmael. Nu Yishmael is a troublemaker. He made some trouble. All children make trouble. That's not a chiddush. It's not a chiddush he made trouble. Who doesn't make trouble? Who doesn't hang from the ceiling, climb the walls? I know of a yeshiva where the children, they climb the walls. Literally, you can almost see them climbing the walls and hanging from the ceiling. If you wouldn't see it, you wouldn't believe it, but I saw it. They asked if I want to give a class here. I said, no, thank you. Lu Yishmael Yichye Lefonecha. Nu, he made trouble, and he's still making trouble. Rahman al-Islam. Okay, names are very significant. And we have here in this week's parasha two very significant names, which is Devarim Loi Pshutim. Okay, running out of time, I want to tell you something which really blew my mind. This is obviously a very old question. It says in Chazal, the Gemara says that that Moshe Rabbeinu, he wrote two Sephardim. He wrote Chamishei Chumshei Torah and Sefer Bilam. Right, it's a famous Chazal. Two Sephardim. The Sefer... Where's the Gemara? I'll tell you the exact words of the Gemara. Moshe Kosav Sifroi Uparshas Bilam Bava Basra Daf Yudalid Amid Beis. Popular Gemara. Moshe Kosav Sifroi Uparshas Bilam. Excuse me, what does that mean? Parshas Bilam is part of Chamishei Chumshei Torah. So what was Moshe? What did Moshe? What's different? So among the answers, one answer is that everything that Moshe wrote in Chamishei Chumshei Torah, it was word for word what Hashem told him to write. It all came to him through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about Chumash Devarim? Okay, a little bit different. Chumash Devarim is a little bit different, but basically it's all 100% divine. Hashem put every machshava, every word, every machshava, it was guided directly what should be written on the page. Chumash Devarim, a little bit different, but it's all the same. Parshas Balak, what we read this week, was Moshe Rabbeinu himself. The record of what happened, according to the Rishonim say this, was Moshe Rabbeinu himself. It was his own writing. It was not on the level, everything of course is Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, that's a given, but there are different madregos in Ruach HaKodesh, and you cannot group together the Ruach HaKodesh of the other Sefard, the other parshas of Chamishei Chumshei Torah, together with parsha, the story of Balak. that wasn't a different type of Ruach HaKodesh. That's a very popular answer. There's another answer, another popular answer is that when it says Moshe Kosav Sivu Parshas Bilim, it doesn't mean what's in the Torah. It means there was a separate book called the Story of Bilam, which is lost from us. He wrote a very detailed account of the whole event, the wars, and in much more greater detail, an historical account of what happened. It's gone. Look, Shlomo HaMelech, he wrote over 3,000, says in the Pasuk, he wrote over 3,000 songs, he wrote Mishalim, he wrote many, many books. Where are they? Gone. Al-Kain, Al-Ahloyu Kos, Al-Sefer, Divrei Hayomim, L'Malchei Modayu for us. Yeah, where are they? Gone. Sefer Melchamos Hashem. Where is the Sefer Melchamos Hashem? There was a Sefer, the Torah records. Al-Ahloyu Kos, it says in Shaftim. Gone. Okay, there were many other books that were written by Ishei HaTanach or existed during the time of Tanakh, and they are no longer in existence. So when it says here in Chazal, Moshe Kosav Sifra, that means Chamishei Chumshei Torah, Uparshas Bilam, there was something very valuable about the story, the elaboration of what happened in the story of Bilam, which we no longer have, it no longer exists. Other systems, it's very, very interesting. In Sefer Shoftim, in Sefer Yehoshua, there are 18 psukim that describe the death of Bilam, the war of Midian. When Yehoshua came into Eretz Yisrael, he waged war, he went to war against Midian, and it says there are 18 psukim that describe the battle of Klal Yisrael in the time of Yehoshua, and what exactly, and the defeat of Bilam. Bilam was killed. Bilam, Balak, their enemy, Yeshua. So someone has said, when it says that those psukim, even though that was not in the lifetime of Moshe, maybe it was. It's just not. It was put in Sefer Yehoshua. The psukim in Sefer Yehoshua, the 18 psukim that describe what happened to Midian and what happened to Bilam and Balak, was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a Nevuah Shem Ha'asid, or maybe it happened in the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu. It just was put in Sefer Yehoshua, and it was not put in Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Those 18 psukim in Sefer Yehoshua, that's the Parshas Bilam. Whatever it says here in Chamishei Chumshei Torah, das is the Torah. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. But the 18 psukim that appear in Sefer Yehoshua that describe the sequel, or you know, all the other information, whether it happened in the lifetime of Moshe, whether it happened later on, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not Yehoshua. Kosav Sifra Uparshas Bilam. Now there's another pshat, which I know Ramachon will love this pshat. And this pshat is really like the pshat that we said right before, that Moshe wrote an historical record regarding, it's building really upon that historical record of exactly what happened when Balak went and he hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people, and all of the sequence of events. He didn't want to come, he finally did go, and then the camel, the donkey, v'yiftach Hashem's picho osoin, the whole story, all the details, which is lost from us. There was a detailed historical account of this entire episode, like we said before. Moshe wrote it. Where is it today? Gone. No, not in the Vatican, it's gone. Why did Moshe waste his time on this? Why did he write a novel? He wrote not a novel. Why did he write a history book? So it says here something fascinating. Because they also wrote a book. They wrote a book. Midian and maybe other nations, they wrote books. They wrote history books. And Moshe got a hold. He went online, he read the version. And he saw it was full of distortions, lies. They twisted the news, fake news. It was like CNN, NBC, NPR, you know, the whole chevra. New York Times. It was they wrote, and Moshe saw how they took history. They took history, and they distorted the facts. They distorted the facts to make them look good. And Moshe couldn't tolerate this. So Moshe wrote his account. His account of history as a rejection, as a statement. It's a lesson. It's a Musa Hasbro for us. As a you bunch of phonies. You're fake news. You go take a story and you take a selected facts and you build a narrative around those facts, which produces a result and a message that is 100% shekel. And if you try to nail them down, you try to put your finger on the pulse, you can't get them. The slippery slope. They're able to go take note. If everything we wrote is MS. Yeah, everything is MS, but the whole flavor, the whole message is sheker. And Moshe MS, the Toirasai MS, could not tolerate this. So he wrote as a response, his version of what happened. My historical record. Yeah, but in modern history, you talk about the Crusades. You read the Crusades. There are really two accountings of the Crusades. There's not much in the Jewish record. The Jewish record of the First Crusade is only in the Kinos. Most of what we know about the First Crusades is only derived by reading the Kinos that were composed by the Gedolei Yisrael. And there aren't that many of them to extract what really happened. So how do we know what happened? There are two accounts. There's the Christian version of the Crusades, and there is the Arab version, the Muslim version of what happened. And you go online, you want to go learn about the Crusades, they'll tell this to you right away. They'll tell you, oh, you want to know about it, go to YouTube, let's learn about the first Crusades. Well, we have two diaries. We have the Christian perspective, and we have the Muslim perspective. And you know something? They're very different. They're very different in how things happen. And you have to study them in very great detail and really try to see to figure out what really happened. And it's a very big study. Moshe Rabbeinu saw what they did, how they want to go twist history, and Moshe Rabbeinu said it's important to set the record straight. And he wrote a book, a whole book. Let me tell you my version, the true version of what happened. Both versions are lost from history. We don't have today their version, and we don't have Moshe's version. But we have a Maamar Chazal. Moshe Kosaf Sefer the Sefer Bilam to teach us a lesson. Don't let them get away with it. Learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. When a guy takes history and perverts history, rewrites history, whitewashes history, Holocaust denial. Okay, I want to go talk about what is it called? Even in America, this new crazy thing about 1619. The whole purpose of America was to enslave people. Crazy thing, right? Go teach us the people.
Right?
Don't let people get away with rewriting history. Moshe Rabbeinu was a very busy man. He was working for the Ribbono Shel Olam. He was a very busy person. But yet Moshe Rabbeinu felt it was kedai to take out of his precious time to set the record straight. Set the record straight. Kosaf Sifroi, the Parshas Bilam, to set the record. Let me read you what it says over here to prove to you I'm not making this stuff up over here. He writes over here, I couldn't believe it, I was reading yesterday. I saw this. It's fascinating how he writes this over here. I'm not saying my Muslim will not be able to find it right over here now, right when I need it. Let me see if I find it. I told you, he says very powerful words, exactly what I did. I told you, Mamash reading over here, modern history, because today that's what goes on today. Today, it's everything is the torsional facts. It's taking me a whole bunch of pages that I'm not going to find, but this is exactly what one of the mehalachim of the wise. Okay. Let me tell you one more last thing before we wind down. I found this. I always found this very interesting. And I'm very skeptical because I can't do the math. I remember hearing years ago that in Tanakh there are exactly 1,820 times the appearance of the shame Yud Ke Vav Ke. 1,820 times. I remember seeing an article claiming that it's not true. There's 1,823. What does that mean? I remember a whole article analyzing this number. 1,000, but let's accept it. 1,820. That number became a very fascinating number for many reasons. All of the classic other things I remember in my little mind, that the Haggadah, supposedly never counted, from Holach Ma'anya until Baruch Atah Hashem Go'al Yisrael, the end of Hallel, is exactly 1,820 words. Now that can't possibly, I'm sure there are many gersois. There are different gersois. So figure it out. I didn't count, but figure it out. Supposedly, who wrote it? Who wrote the Haggadah, by the way? So they say, Leo Hanavi wrote the Haggadah. Others say it was the Rabbanan Savaroi. The Rabbanan Savaroi wrote the Haggadah. Whatever it is, but in the Haggadah, supposedly there's exactly 1,820 words connected, the 1,820 times that the Yud Kei Vav Kei appears in Tanakh. The Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, I don't know from what part it starts, where it ends, exactly what they're referring to. Supposedly, it's also exactly 1,820 words. Now, get a load of this. In this week's parsha, let me open up my notes here. In this week's parsha, we also have 1,820. No. This is not in this week's parsha. Okay, I went off. I went off on a tangent. I'm going to come back to what I got a little bit confused. But once we're talking about this, I'm going to come back one second. And fascinating that how many words are there in the Torah that are quotations from Rachel, Leah, and Yaakov. In the Torah, Yaakov does a lot of talking. In the Yelokimi Madi Ushmarani Baderech HaSeshenuch Yoleich, Yaakov says to his father, Hinini, Miatabini, Anoichi Esa Bechoylecha. Okay, Yaakov Avinu talks. He actually talks. He talks to his father. He talks to Hashem. He talks to his children. He talks to his wives. Count the number of words that Yaakov Avinu talks. Count the number of words that Rachel Imenu speaks. Count the number of words that Leah speaks. Leah, apam oides Hashem. Go be meticulous in counting the number of words that come out of the mouth of Yaakov and his two wives. In Chamish Chum Shei Torah, or really Chumash Bereishis, it's exactly, supposedly, I can count, 1,820. Isn't that amazing? That's what it says. You have to count. And one more, the Shiftei Koh. That's Tanakh. That's not a quotation. That's not a quotation. Only in Chumash, only in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, words that are quotations, words that come out of their mouth. Furthermore, it says here, you have to count the words, the Shiftei Koh, the 12 children of Yaakov. Yosef does a lot of talking. The brothers, when they come to him, when they come and they search, they come to Mitzrayim to buy bread. When they speak to the Shechem, count the number of words that come out of the mouth of Yaakov's children, his 12 children, in Chumash Bereishis, also exactly 1,820. Mamish, this is impossible to be Torah's Min HaShemayim. If these things, you have to count the words. I believe what he says, well, he wouldn't quote this, it wasn't true. That's amazing. That all of these things are exactly 1,820. The Shemos in Chamisha, the Tanakh, that's something that's very old, that Mesoira. 1,820 in Tanakh, the Haggadah, the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, and the number of words that are spoken by Yaakov and his two wives, and then the number of words that are spoken by the Shiftei Koh. It's an amazing phenomenon. That there's such accuracy, that this, the exact number of words, it's unbelievable such a thing. Now how did I get that? That really has nothing to do with this week's parasha. How did I get that? Because this was the Hagdama. What he really was wanting to say is something that's also very interesting about this week's parasha. The Aleph base. If you add up all the letters of the Aleph Beis, what do you come out? I forgot. What does it come out to? I don't know. What does it come out to?
I
forgot. But anyway, this is not going to make a difference. Every letter of the Aleph Beis can be spelled Bimilui, which means Aleph. How do you spell Aleph? Aleph Lamid Pei. So what's the gematria? What's the gematria of Aleph? You have to add up all the. You have to add up all the letters. Do the same thing for. I'm getting confused over here. I'm getting confused. Supposedly, no, maybe not assume law. I may make a mistake. How much all the letters of the number 523? I should have done the math. Yes, I'm more confused now. But suppose the number 523, is that the number of all the letters of the alphabet together? If you add up all the letters of the Aleph Beis, it can't be because just the end letters of Tav, Resh. So what is going on over here? The letter five. Let me find it in the Sefer. Let me find what a Sefer. It's very interesting what he says over here about the number 523. If you count in this week's parasha, the number of words that are spoken by Bilam. Bilam does a lot of talking in this week's parasha. Count all the words that are come out of the mouth of Bilam. All the words. It equals exactly 523. Count the number of words that are spoken by Avraham Avinu in Chumash Bereishis, words that come out of his mouth. How many words do you think come out of his mouth? Exactly 523. Avraham Avinu in the Chamisha in Chumash Bereishis spoke 523 words. Bilam in this week's parasha speaks 523 words. Isn't that amazing? They both, it's like Zel Umazel. Mm-hmm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, he wants to tie it into the bracha. Or Zeluma Zeh is that Hashem says, the ones that you bless, I will bless. The ones that you curse, I will curse. The ones that you bless, the blessing is the word. There's always a Zeluma Zeh. The words of Bilam were all meant to be curses, and they were transformed. Vayafech Hashem Lotech Esaklala Lebracha. The 523 words that came out of the pair of Bilam were all intended to be curses. But
that's why it says in Bibliom, it's not been Tamino Shel Avraham Avinu, Tamino Shel
Avraham. Ah, excellent. Fantastic. He's saying, why does, see, fantastic, why does the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos come and say, Ma ben Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu, Talmidav shel Bilam Arasha? Why, what's the shaykhis? What's the connection between two of them? The fact is that obviously their words are rooted, I mean, the fact that they each have 523 words, that's haloi dover, that is not a coincidence. That's obviously, there's some type of zeh l'uma zeh, and the siyat shmaya is that even though there is such a principle of brocha and klala, here we see vayafich Hashem Elokech esa klala l'brocha. All of the words of Bilam, they were transformed tit for tat. Each word of Avraham Avinu had an effect on each word of Bilam, that word was transformed, would have been a klala, into words of bracha. All right, there's a lot more over here. Maybe we'll see tomorrow, we'll see, but I thought this was interesting. All right, have a wonderful day, everybody. I enjoy. Amen.